The Free Congregation of Sauk County is a Unitarian Universalist Fellowship and a welcoming congregation. This means our invitation is to all, and that all are welcome here, regardless of race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender expression, or political persuasion. You're welcome. Talking about luck. Okay, one of the best things you can do for your children is inoculate them against superstition. Superstition is a hilarious game to play when you choose to play it. It is an awful game to play when you feel like you have no choice. So if you inoculate your kids against superstition, they get to pick which times they pick up that particular game. One way you can do it is take a random object. Okay. And if you got a crowd like this, you put it in the hand of one of the people, make sure they're covering their eyes so they can't see who it is. And then you send them on a four-leaf clover hunt. You say, go find the thing. And sometimes they're going to find it the very first try. Sometimes they're going to walk up to 20 different people and go and never get it until the last person. Does the rock care either way? Did the rock show up earlier or later? No, they just got lucky one time and unlucky the next time. And if they keep looking, sooner or later, they're going to find it. That's how you find a four-leaf clover. You just look. They were there the whole time. They're just hiding in all the other three-leaf clovers. And the reason nobody finds them is because no one's diligent enough to put in the time to find it. That's what makes them lucky. So lucky is not a thing you are. Lucky is a thing that happens. And some days you're the lucky one, and some days you're the unlucky one. There's one way you can wrap that up, which is pretty nice. You can't be lucky, but you can be someone else's lucky. So my kids are my lucky, because if you gave me the chance to go back and be eight, I would never take that chance, because I wouldn't get the same kids. I could go back to eight and I could live a killer life knowing what I know now. Invest in Apple. Man, I would make a killing. Okay. So basically what you're telling your kids is I would give up like infinity money for you, because you are the one in a million thing that happened to me, and I would pick you any day. So for me, you are the luckiest thing that's ever happened. Our reading today is a selection from The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway. Now the man watched the dip of the three sticks over the side of the skiff and rowed gently to keep the lines straight up and down and at their proper depths. It was quite light, and any moment now the sun would rise. The sun rose thinly from the sea, and the old man could see the other boats, low on the water and well in toward the shore, spread out across the current. Then the sun was brighter, and the glare came on, and the water, as it rose clear, the flat sea, sent it back at his eyes, so that it hurt sharply, and he rowed without looking into it. He looked down into the water and watched the lines that went straight down into the dark of the water. He kept them straighter than anyone did, so that at each level in the darkness of the stream, there would be a bait waiting exactly where he wished for any fish that swam there. Others let them drift with the current, and sometimes they were at 60 fathoms when the fishermen thought they were at 100. But he thought, I keep them with precision. Only I have no luck anymore. But who knows? Maybe today. Every day is a new day. It is better to be lucky, but I would rather be exact. Then when luck comes, you're ready. Anybody watch the Super Bowl this year? Show of hands. I'm seriously the only one who watched the Super Bowl in this entire room. You guys are weird. Okay, we got some. Oh, thank you. We've got two. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. There were no Packers this year, so I honestly don't care who wins. But I love to watch the commercials. I watch every year for the commercials. My best friend, Matt, we've been friends from junior high. He still calls me up on the phone and goes, that joke is 23 years old. And for some reason that my children cannot comprehend, Matt and I still say it to each other out loud in public frequently. I love Super Bowl ads, but you know what I saw more this year than any year previously? Gambling ads. As state after state legalizes gambling, it is suddenly worth it to drop $7 million on a 30-second ad spot. And they're not even good ad spots. There's no like, bud, why is nothing. There's no cute little critters. There's no story. There's no funny joke. There's no catchy jingle. It's just, I have a website. Give me your money. That's it. Absolute garbage. And it's worth $7 million. They made money off of $7 million. Because Americans love gambling. We have always loved gambling. From sports bets to horse bets. From lotteries to Las Vegas, from land rush to gold rush. It's in our blood. There is nothing more American than believing you're about to get lucky. Perpetually about to get lucky. Rags to riches, viral videos. We are always just one lucky break away from making it big. Living the good life, the American dream. The thing about dreams is, sooner or later, you got to wake up. If you look at the Forbes 400 from 2022, list the 400 wealthiest people that we know about in the U.S., over 80% of them were either born into significant wealth or born into homes where hardship was no issue. So if you want to be one of the 400 wealthiest people in the world, or in America, 80% of that is about where you're born. As of 2022, the top 1% of Americans own 30% of the nation's wealth, and the bottom 50% own just over 3%. So clearly, the most reliable way to get lucky in America is to be born that way. So what about the rest of us? We just give up? No way. I don't believe that for a second. Love is luck. It's not a thing we are. It is a thing that happens sometimes. When a good but rare thing happens, we call that lucky. When a one in a million good thing happens, we call that a miracle. We ought to call it Tuesday because a million things happen every day. One of them's got to be good. So the thing that we call a miracle is just the thing that we notice this time. If you want to see more miracles? Look more. They're happening all the time. The thing my conservative friends get right is that it's on us to be ready when the moment arrives. It takes years to make an overnight success. On the other hand, the thing my liberal friends get right is we don't control most of what happens to us. We only control how we respond to what happens to us. The way I see it, we're about one quarter responsible for our outcome. We don't pick our DNA. We don't pick our formative young experiences that shape our psychology. We don't pick our environment in which we are born and grow up and live. All we control is how we respond to it. The one out of four. Actually, it's kind of less than that because the thoughts that we think bubble up from our subconscious. Our emotional responses bubble up from a place that we don't really have access to. And those grow out of our previous experience, which means we're actually responsible for what, like an eighth, half of a quarter? That's the lever we can reach. We control the stories we tell ourselves inside our own heads. That's the part we can control. And this is good news because it saves us from apathy and it saves us from arrogance. There really are tangible steps that we can take to influence our outcomes. And we all know what those are. That's the personal responsibility part that my conservative friends get right. We can take action. We can shape our future. And the best thing is that those actions are recursive. So every step opens the opportunity for a second step. It opens more options and more opportunity in the future. The opposite is true too. Apathy is a death by 1,000 paper cuts. So to all my conservative friends, I know you're listening. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right about that thing. The place where you lose me is you forget the other 7/8 of the game. If I don't control my DNA, and I don't, well, I do control half of my kids' DNA, vaguely, and I can pick a good spouse, okay? As a culture, we absolutely shape the DNA of future generations, or we can at least screw it up real bad. Okay, so that's one. What's two? Two was formative experiences. I don't control my own formative experiences, but I do work hard to shape the formative experiences of my kids. And not just my kids, every kid I meet. And not just the kids I personally meet. My taxes go to support the schools and the infrastructure that create a safe space where they can thrive, the social safety net that protects them when they fall. So I absolutely do shape the formative experiences, or we as a culture do shape the formative experiences of the people around us. And that leaves what? The thoughts we think? Well, if half of our thoughts grow up from the subconscious place inside of us of our previous past experience, then we absolutely shape each other's thinking. If you ask me a question, I don't think the answer in Spanish. I did not take enough Spanish in high school. I took half a semester. Who takes half a semester? This guy. So the Spanish answer is not an option for me. But if I have a Spanish friend, maybe it becomes an option. We absolutely create opportunities inside other people's brains every time we dump goodness into them. And we limit their opportunities every time we dump awfulness into them. Because the reality is, we are victims of survivorship bias. We look at the world and we see these CEOs sitting on the top of their mega corporations and we think, wow, that guy really did it. Because it's usually a guy. I want to be like that guy. What we don't see is the 7/8 that didn't make it. Most bands break up. Most artists starve. Most businesses fail. And so we just notice the Rolling Stones and say, hey, I want to be like Mick Jagger. No, you don't. Most people never get rich. And of the ones that do, according to the Forbes magazine, about 8 out of 10 of them had a head start. My conservative friends hate it when I say this because it sounds depressing and they know in their bones that apathy is a killer. And they're right. Remember, I already said they're right. You're right. You're right. Calm down. You're right. But ignoring a hard truth doesn't make it less true. And facing a hard truth doesn't make it worse. We're talking about the reality of our human condition. We don't control our DNA. We don't control our formative experiences. We have limited ability to shape our environment. And our access to our own brains is spot at best. which is good. It's hard news. It's not fun news, but it's good news because when we experience loss, as we are likely to do, real loss, punch you in the gut, it's not fair, and I don't know if I want to keep going, loss. When that happens to us, we don't have to pretend like we deserve it. Because that's the thing I feel when I turn on Fox News. Like it's not enough to get knocked down. It's not enough to get kicked while you're down. I'm supposed to say, thank you, sir. May I have another? In the words of my 8-year-old daughter, back when she was 8, she's 13 now, she wouldn't answer the question. But when she was 8, she was still cute and adorable. She would say, nuh-uh. She's still cute. She's just sassy. Yeah, surprise, right? Dave is shocked. 13-year-old sassy? Come on. So what's the answer then? Do we just blame the world? Wait for somebody to come rescue us? Just the opposite. 100% the opposite. When we accept that 7/8 of our problems are systemic, we finally stop aiming our solutions at the wrong place. We got microplastics floating in our oceans, and instead of fixing the system that creates that problem, where we take an infinite growth curve and say that ain't fast enough and stick it inside a closed system and expect that that's just going to work out fine magically. We say, you know, the problem is you didn't recycle enough. We stop blaming people and we start building communities. We face real problems from the local all the way up to the existential, and we are not going to bootstrap or rugged individualism or build a bunker and hide our way out of it. This is a thing my grandfather learned baling hay. It's a thing that he learned in the Pacific in World War II. Many hands make light work. Many hands make the impossible possible. And when you're stuck on an island and people are trying to kill you and bombs are falling all over the place, you have no idea whether you're going home. You have no control over whether you're going home. The only thing you can control is whether you go with your buddies or you go it alone. Because if all 7 of you do the thing, 4 of you might make it. But if you go one at a time, nobody's making it. Then he came home and he trusted his job to a union and he trusted his PTSD to his spouse. He knew a thing in his bones that we have forgotten. When the problem is bigger than you, so is the solution. We don't need to get lucky. We were born lucky because we were born in this time, in this place. Any one of our ancestors would kill to swap with us. Even if we didn't win the lottery, it wouldn't fix our problems. Because sure, it would make it easier for me and my kids. But what do we really need? We need 2 things, in my opinion. We need a small group of people, 2 or 3 maybe, that you trust enough to help you see your own mind. And you need a diverse, resilient, stable, sustainable, cooperative community. If you are rich and you have not, and you lack those 2 things, you feel poor. If you are dirt poor and you have those 2 things, you still feel poor, but you feel lucky. We are not born into those things. We build them for each other. That's our work. Let's get to it. Thank you. If you're looking for examples of people who already walk that path well, look at the scientists who worked at the edge of what we knew, like Marie Curie, who just invested their lives searching for an answer, and it came up no 99,000 times until it came up yes. So those stories of those individuals can be very comforting. But the best advice I ever heard on that situation was to think less like a tourist and think more like an explorer. Because a tourist is going to a thing that they already know is there. And Davy Crockett is just out there wandering to figure out what's going to happen. And when they get there, they're not looking for a specific thing. They're looking for a kind of thing. So an explorer doesn't go out looking for Toledo. They go out looking for water and stands of usable wood and an exposed rock for a quarry. Like, they have ideas of the kind of thing they want. And they're evaluating the place they find on like a balanced scale against that criteria. And that way, when they find a spot, the question isn't like, did I get it? Yes or no. The question is, this is a 73% match. Is that good enough for now? And if it's not, then you're okay. I'm not going to settle for a 73. I'm going to wait for a 75. And that feels a lot more positive and constructive and hopeful than just like, why can't I find my thing? You know? Do you guys know how I wound up here? I made a friend with a lady who was the interim minister of UCC Janesville. And we kicked it off because I was a former minister and she was lefty Lucy. And we were just buds. And she needed to take a day off one day. So she convinced her own church to let her atheist buddy have a shot at the pulpit for a Sunday. And they, because they're the UCC, were like, okay. So I spoke there, and a member of UU Madison Prairie, a member of Prairie UU in Madison, was in the congregation and came up and said, that was a really good talk. Would you be willing to give that talk again up at Prairie UU? Yes. So I go up and speak at Prairie UU. And a member at Prairie UU was a member here. And they said, that was a really good talk. Would you get that talk up at Sauk Free? Yes. So I came up here and I gave a talk. And they said, you know, we do have like a rotating series of preachers who like come in maybe three or four times a year. Would you be interested in that? Yes. So the place where I want to wind up is I would like to get back to doing nothing but this every Sunday. And the place where I sympathize with your friend is there's only one congregation like this. This is the last free congregation in the U.S. Now, there are other places and there are other opportunities, and we put this stuff online. Maybe somebody will hear it and give me a shot. Maybe I'll be the one to go viral and make it rich someday. But the thing, the thing that I hold on to is that even if all I ever did was write my book and then hand it to my son, that would be enough. If all I ever did was just give these speeches and make 20 people have a better life for a day, that would be enough. That would be worth it. I could die easy. And if I take those 52 speeches and I staple them together and I hand them to my children, my two sons and my one daughter, so that they have something to remember me by, I die happy. So that's how I get over the why won't anybody publish my book. Like, getting published is gravy. Speaking for you guys, that's the meal.